All that, Cheryl. You're all that. Thank you, Cheryl. You're a doll.
Thank you, Cheryl, says the ugly sister.
Wait a minute, we got to get into our teachings so Jack can jump out of that
May take a while after those comments. Hi, Anne and Marge and Debbie and hi, Meg.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody. All right. So we should start this with a prayer. Connie's looking at me like, "Don't call on me. Don't call on me."
Again?
Again. And I guess I'm not really good at the praying thing. It's funny. Maybe if the plane's going down or something. But my heart is pure. This is true. I am sincere about opening up to the potentials of the materials that we look for, and not so I can show you guys how brilliant I am, but really to let those materials speak to me and through me, and that's that's the intention that I would set, is so that just to have the truth of what we are come through one way or another in this group, and amen.
Amen. Love. Well, we're on page 283, the very bottom of the page.
We are, we are.
NTI Romans chapter 16, 1 through 16.
Says our announcer. Okay. Greet one another. Hey, everybody. Greet one another. By greeting one another, you greet yourself, being of one mind with me. There is no one that you meet that is not of me. So there is no one that you meet who is not you also. As you greet him, you greet yourself. Give patience to your brother, and you give patience to the one that you are. Give trust to your brother, and you give trust to the one that you are. Give hope to your brother, and through your practice of my every word, let me try it again. Give hope to your brother through your practice of my every word. And you give message to yourself that my word is true. Now, I really like that. I like all of it, but give hope to your brother through your practice of my every word. And we were just talking at dinner about our friend who's having such a hard time right now, and just life is tough, 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 tough for her and for those around her. And to give hope to somebody who seems firmly entrenched in the illusion, by practicing, by my practicing, by your practicing, right? The word is just an amazing, it's an amazing idea. It's not like give hope to your brother by, telling him what they ought to know. Give hope to your brother by praying for him. Give hope to your brother by doing good deeds. This doesn't say any of that. It says, give hope to your brother through your practice of my every word, and you give message to yourself that my word is true. That's that spreading of the light in the one mind, right?
And I agree with you. And also, this reminds me of Byron Katie's teaching. Of her turnaround. I'm always just so tickled with that first one that I really got when she's asked the the woman says she's reading her work to her. I think that's what they call it, the work. And she says, my husband should talk to me. He shouldn't get behind the paper and ignore me, and he should talk to me. And of course she says, well, what do you do when he does that? And she says, well, I don't talk to him. So it's just everything is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. The world is being reflected. So if you're giving trust to your brother, you're seeing trust. If you're giving patience, you see patience. I had somebody I was talking to the other day was just talking in some real cynical ways, and I said, you know, I can't go there with you. And that paranoia view of the world, that's not my world, and I don't want to participate in that world, and I'm not going to give credence to that world. And if you think it's true, you're going to have to think it. You're going to have to think it without me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So it's a return that. The course talking about you get what you give, what's in your mind is going to come back to you. So, in exact proportion to what you give is what the course is. So.
Give love to your brother by greeting him as one in you, and you give truth to the mind that is yourself. Be humble with your brother, and you recognize his true spirit, which is yours also. You probably think I forgot how to read, right?
I was wondering.
Well, I'm just... let me go on and read them, and maybe we'll come back. It just feels like, you know, we're like, do this, do this, do this. Okay, the end now. What's the next thing say? So it just feels like this deserves some, because they're saying, okay, let me finish reading it and then we'll talk about it some more. I apologize, guys. Be humble with your brother and you recognize his true spirit, which is yours also. Give honor to your brother and you give remembrance that your only truth is me. Give to your brother as you would give to yourself in holy remembrance of me, and you give of your willingness to release the world and awaken from the dream of fear. Give in peace through thought to the world that is you. This is the way to remember your truth, which is peace and freedom and love. Give thought to your thoughts and be aware for that which is thought is you. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm sorry, guys. I know I sound disjointed tonight, and maybe I am. There's a theme here, and maybe we will go on and figure out what he's saying before I try and figure it out just by reading. But this is what we were talking about at dinner, of course, is that, you know, there's only one, and we have a hard time conceptualizing of what that means, because we do see ourselves, we have habitually seen ourselves as separate individuals. So, by and large, if you say there's only one, most of us think that only one is me. There's Jacqueline, and everybody's subsumed within this Jacqueline, or you keep it on some real amorphous intellectual level of oneness. But, you know, there's
what
a...
What does that mean?
We give credence to the idea that, yeah, okay, there's only one of us. Yeah, so I should be nice to that guy over there, even though I don't really like him very much. And, you know, he never does what I want to do, and he's always out to get me, or what? I mean, whatever it is, right? So we say... You know, we pay homage to the idea there's one, by saying the spiritually right things, but we don't, you know, we don't actually, you know, we don't integrate that into our experience, because what our experience is, yeah, there's only one, but there's that guy over there, and his interests are opposed to mine, and, you know, I love God, and I know we're all one, but, you know, shoot, you can't just, like, talk to people like that, or you can't just loan him your car, or you gotta lock your doors at night, or, you know, and nobody's saying, you know, walk out in front of a bus and see if you, you know, see if you're a body or not. I mean, I'm not trying to be extreme like that. What I'm just saying is that there's just something a little bit more subtle going on here, at least for me, in terms of this idea that you and I were talking about at dinner, when we were talking about really letting go of the notion of you know, yourself as a separate being. So if you were truly, I mean, it's like saying, you know, give this post-it note to my right hand, you know, who still got it? The same one that had it in their left hand, right? It's like, but so you see that we still make this distinction. We talk about one, but there's still a distinction that we make. We're like, when we hear one, we think, oh, we're all from the same source, right? And the truth is that, you know, the same consciousness that's looking through these eyes are looking through those eyes. And it's not the same, I'm not saying the same source. I'm not saying we're all, I'm not saying, you know, when we all die, then we'll get together and then we'll figure out we're one. I'm not, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, it's, I'm not even really saying that it's all made out of Play-Doh and we're all made out of the same Play-Doh, right? There's the boundaries that we experience are the boundaries that we believe in. So, we believe in boundaries between bodies. We believe in boundaries between thoughts. We believe in boundaries between having our needs met. And the truth is it's those beliefs in boundaries that moment by moment, day by day, perpetuate a world of boundaries, that perpetuate a world of illusion and separation. So this isn't saying, you know, give to your brother because he's like you, or give to your brother because you all have the same father. But it's give to your brother because he literally is you.
Yeah, the distinctions that he's not used are artificial distinctions.
Yeah,
like a separate body,
needs,
separate needs, separate concepts about who we are, and those we've made those distinctions really distinctive.
Yeah, and so they seem really valid.
Yeah,
it seems like you have one body and I have another body, and therefore we couldn't be one.
Right.
Well, that's impossible. Seems like if I change my mind, your mind would not change, because we have separate minds.
Yes. Yes, and the Course talks about, you know, and the finality of things, we'll see no distinctions amongst anything.
Because there are none.
Exactly. And you can already see that in a lot of things. I mean, you talk about, you know, what is love, is joy, is peace, is freedom. You can see how they're all the same words. And that's why, you know, in the Course, so often they talk about, well, here's how the Course is going to use this word, and it's not the same as the world, as the world uses it. But it means so many, you know, is this, love is salvation, love is freedom, love is joy, love is peace. They're all, it's, the distinctions among those words
are artificial.
Are artificial. So are the distinctions among what seems to be form. But because form isn't really real, it is a distinction in itself.
Yeah. So where this says, "Give patience to your brother," and you give patience to the one that you are. It's not, again, and I think the way that the mind hears it, or at least the way that Jacqueline's mind has always heard that is, you know, he's doing the best he can. It's like having a really close sibling, right? Connie's doing the best that she can, right? So I'll be patient with her. But this is not what this is saying.
What is it you say to me that just goats me?
Calm down. She hates that. Yeah, but again, the emphasis here, and I'm not getting it said. I can see that I'm not getting it said, but the emphasis, you all have to be patient with me. But the emphasis here is on the one that you are. So give patience to your brother, and you give patience to the one that you are. You're not
the oneness that you are.
Yeah, you're not giving anything away here.
Yeah.
You know, you're not being benevolent, right? You're not being magnanimous. You're being patient with yourself.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it may seem as if you are outwardly, and I'm showing with my hands, you all can't see that.
It's like she threw a basketball.
But you may seem as if you are outwardly giving something to something outside of you, but the truth but the truth of it is that's impossible. So if you're being patient, you're teaching yourself patience. You're teaching, and you know, for me, right, the second is a little bit more subtle than this, but you might say you're teaching patience to the one mind. And you're teaching patience to the one mind, not because your brother sees you and goes, oh, look how patient she is, right? No, it's because I teach the one mind by what I teach within myself. What I teach to me is how I teach the one mind, not because my brother sees it and goes, hey, that's a great job. You're real patient.
And that kind of reminds me of when I'm doing the course lessons. It, I always thought that Jesus was admonishing us with with each lesson.
Okay, Jesus, I'll do better.
I'm not a body. Okay.
I'm sorry that I was.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so again, give trust to your brother, and you give trust to the one that you are, right? And again, it's not because your brother goes, oh, look how trusting that person is. No, you're teaching the one by what you're teaching. You know, what you seem to be doing this to, for, about someone else, but it's not about that at all. There is no one else, and you can only teach the one, and you can only do that by demonstrating the truth, right? You don't demonstrate it so somebody can see it. You demonstrate to yourself, I am patient. I am trusting. And it's not little Jacqueline, you know, little I am, right? It's trust, patience.
It's kind of like what you're saying is kind of like a definition of giving and receiving are one and the same.
Right. Because who else is there to teach? Who else is there to receive or to demonstrate to? There is no one else. There's the one, and that's only accessible in here.
Yeah. In fact, if you to go out and try and admonish your brother to get this, then it would be the wrong way of giving.
Well, and in fact, what just occurred to me, you know, you see all those little, I don't know who hands those out, those little cartoon pamphlets. I really don't know who hands those out, but, you know, there's always people burning in hell in those pamphlets. These little cartoon books. They hand them out around here in the South. I don't know if they do anywhere else.
At rest areas.
Yeah. But they say something in there about, they're quoting some Bible passage that says, you good works won't do it for you. And so you're left going, what? if being good doesn't do it, what will do it, right? But really, I mean, and I don't know the underlying Bible passage, but I've seen it in those books plenty of times. But you can see where that would be true. It's because it's not about the good works. It's not about what you do. It's what you come to know about yourself and thus the self, the
Right.
true self.
Well, I think that's well said.
So, so let's see.
Think 12 is.
Yes, so let's start with that 12 down there. That's a good one. Give in peace through thought to the world that is you, right? So we are the world. There's nothing outside of us, right? So all that you give to yourself. So give in peace through thought. This is exactly what we've just been talking about, right? Show myself what I believe, right? You're in control of your thoughts, thank God, right? You at least have the choice whether to believe them or not to believe them. So you can be in peace, or you can continue to believe the thoughts that, have been wrought over all these years. Give in peace through thought to the world that is you. This is the way to remember your truth, which is peace and freedom and love. Yeah, somebody said it was the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, that may be. I have to ask Regina. She was a Jehovah's Witness for a while.
He has my office manager.
Oh yeah. You ask her if they're the one that gives out those awful little cartoon books. All right. Give thought to your thoughts. Of course, I was talking about this last night. Of course, it says you're much too tolerant of mind wandering, right? Give thought to your thoughts and be aware, for that which is thought is you. Believe the thoughts that speak not of your truth, and you accept a message that's untrue. To be free of delusion, release delusional thoughts. Listen to them no more. Be aware that you perceive and believe as you think.
this reminds me of somebody like Sarah. What's Sarah's last name? Comes around. Her friend from the
Oh, St. Clair.
Sarah St. Clair comes around, and it's like every time you open your mouth, you go, "Oh, well, that was a little off." And something, and you say something else, you go, "Oh, no, that wasn't good. No, that kind of missed the mark too." And you just realize, being that how that you're not. That you're saying these things that aren't quite true. So you're living a life that's not quite true.
Yeah.
Instead of saying what you mean and mean what you say, right?
Right. And so you're listening to those thoughts of delusion.
Yes.
Tom just walked by.
Naked.
He wasn't naked, he had his hat on. Ahead.
No, that's just that's a good way shower of that I'm not that I'm that I know I'm out of step or out of with the truth, because I don't hear it until I'm hearing it through Sarah's ears and knowing that it couldn't possibly be ringing true because it isn't true.
Right, and so that just points to the habitual nature of listening to those thoughts and just and going along with them. Again, you're much too tolerant of mind wandering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kitty K.
To be free of delusion, release delusional thoughts. Listen to them no more. Be aware that you perceive and believe as you think. Question what you think against that which you truly desire. Yeah, which is what you were doing with Sarah, right?
Yes.
I mean, you could see it through True Desire's eyes in the same way, and you could just do that all the time. Well, wait, I just said this. Now, is that what I really want to believe? Is that what I know to be the truth? And isn't it truth that I truly desire?
Yes. So stop living in that half-truth world. I mean, be consistent with what you know to be the truth. Instead of, talking the slang of the world that's not true and reinforcing it.
And reinforcing it in the mind the whole time that you're doing it.
Exactly.
To let go of division-based thoughts. Cheryl said, hey, Tom. To let go of division-based thoughts is to let go of all that isn't true. This frees the mind of what it believes and opens it to remember its truth. And we talked about that earlier, didn't we? Just that makes the space for that. Now I ask you to remember your Father, whose will has sent this voice to you. It is the will of oneness and peace and of truth that is forever true. To remember your Father is to remember your truth. You are loved and you are forever free. In your oneness, you are blessed as the Holy Son of God. In your oneness, you are forever your truth. And again, I think that at a previous time, like last week, not so very long ago, I would have read that sentence very differently. In your oneness, you are blessed as a holy son of God. I mean, I think particularly for those of us who've been studying the Course in Miracles for 30 years, we read that sentence and we're like, oh, in our oneness, along with my brother. Okay, along with my brother, I'm blessed as the Holy Son of God. And again, see, it's just that paradigm shift that we're just beginning to make, right? Because it's like, no, nobody's talking about your brother, right? That didn't say, with your brother, you're blessed as the Holy Son of God. It said, in your oneness, in the truth of who you are. In your lack of division.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
In your lack of division, you are blessed as a holy son of God. And we've talked about that repeatedly, right? Because to experience division, to experience separateness, to see a dog-eat-dog world, to see, I got to get mine before he gets it, right? That is hell. That's the hell that we live in. To see, I have these expectations as a sister, and you're not meeting those expectations, therefore I'm miserable, right? So you do create your own hell the moment you go into division as an employee or as a boss or as a teacher or as a student. I mean, the moment you go into division, you create, I was going to say the potential, but you create misery, sorrow, at the very least the potential for misery and sorrow. And it's in your oneness that you are blessed as the Holy Son of God. It's in your need nothing state, your need nothing state, your limitless state, which is not a state. It's like, oh, after I die, then I'll be limitless. No, you're limitless now. And it's in that state that you are blessed. There's nothing but blessings. That is nirvana. That is, right, the be all end all. You are loved and you are forever free. And that's your limitless state. That's your wholeness. And it's talking about in your wholeness, you are blessed as the Holy Son of God.
Autumn was trying to teach a Buddha lesson the other day. She was telling the story that how when you give something to somebody, the giver needs to say, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. Because you're only given to yourself. It's because there's just that. That every time you, every the gift that you're giving is the gift that you give, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it translated, but
in your oneness, you are forever your truth. Love yourself as love is what you are. Forever be kind and gentle. Give nothing that is not deserving in the mind of peace. And you honor your truth through thought. Amen. So
I call that woman back standing by a veteran.
Connie was telling me earlier about a phone call that didn't go real well for her day.
Oh, sharp.
She was sharp. Okay. So, here we are on page. We're getting ready to start a new book.
Corinthians.
Yeah, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Holy Spirit's interpretation of 1 Corinthians begins on page. You want to get, see who's calling you?
I'm sorry.
That's right. Begins on page 287 of NTI. We'll let Connie get her phone here, and then we'll. It's a nice ring. Okay. There it is. I see it. Your phone. Okay. You who are reading this now have been called into my service. This is why you continue to read. Now I will teach you in order to help you in your acceptance of your role as my holy servant. It says, as soon as you put down your phone, I will teach you in order to help you in your acceptance of your role as my holy servant. I am grateful for you and your willingness.
Admonishment again. Really funny, Connie.
Connie feels admonished by that sentence. Is it because you're not willing? You judge yourself not willing?
No, I mean it's just my what I'm telling you is it's just that perspective of the ego of well, if I'm not doing that, then I'm really being admonished for that. It's not. It took me a while to get to hear the fact that this is the truth of what you are, and that's all I was telling you is the truth of what you are. And so the admonishment, this is what you need to be. And when I was doing the course lessons, I was reading it like, you know, this is what you're not, and why aren't you?
Right.
Instead of for the more general perspective and the more illuminated perspective of this is the truth of you. You want to participate?
Come on, the water's fine.
That's right. Yeah. So to say I'm grateful for you and your willingness, and if you feel like you're not willing, then it would be like an admonishment. Oh.
I got you. It is funny. Okay. I am grateful for you and your willingness. Already, your helpfulness to healing has been more than you imagine. And yet, you are just beginning this path with me. There's so much more to do. So many more wonders for you to see and accept. You are truly a glorious gift unto yourself. I thank you for your undying willingness to heal. You may seem to be led into relationships with me where one may seem to have a leadership role and one may seem to be a follower. Do not be confused by what you see in form. Each one who walks with me, doing easily as I ask. One day he may seem to lead, and one day he may seem to follow. With some he may appear to be leader. With others he may appear to follow. But all appearances, regardless of what they may be, are within the realm of perception. The realm of perception is the realm of change. So cast not your eyes upon the realm of perception, judging what seems to be the circumstance in form. Remember that my servant is one who walks with me, and so he is one who walks with you also. And you, as one who has accepted himself into my holy service, walks with your brother too. So there are no, in reality, of course, there are no leaders, there are no followers, you know, that's, it's temporary. And of course, anything that's temporary is not the truth of who we are. And so, you know, if you feel lowly one day and on top of the mountain the next, then, you know, then you're just, it's more of participating in that, in the belief in the reality of division.
This reminds me, and I may have said this last week, I think I said this to you, of those books that are out there, like what was the white book? Awakening. No.
Dialogue on Awakening.
Dialogue on Awakening, where Tom Carpenter says that he started the book when he realized that Jesus was talking to him. He felt like he started the book and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that the by the end of the book he was sitting next to Jesus and then realized that there wasn't any separation.
Sweet.
And I think that what is that movie we saw did the same thing. Sorry, folks. Well, the guy comes into town and he's a modern Jesus.
Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua. At the end, he's talking to the Pope, and he says, you know, when I saw you so many years ago, we had the same discussion or whatever, you know. So he seemed to be sitting beside the Pope, and then he realized that he was one with the Pope. So it was really sweet.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you, Connie. The ego is still within your mind, and it may seem to persist for some time. This is not to be cause for concern for you, but it is to be acknowledged, and you are to remain aware. For if you do not remain aware and alert to the ego in your mind, you may forget to question your thinking and believe you are listening to me when you are not. If you remember and remain aware of the ego in your mind, you can continuously question your thinking and seek for the reason you hold. As my servant, you will desire to hold to right reason, and so where you recognize it, you shall hold it dear. Where you do not recognize right reason, you shall choose to let your thinking go and continue to wait for the reason and guidance that comes from me. Yeah, of course, that's, you know, just a familiar suggestion that we need to be vigilant. That's all. You know, it's just like what you were talking about a while ago.
With Sarah.
Yeah. If you.
You can hear it when it's off.
If you're vigilant,
yeah.
and you are around Sarah, right?
Yeah. Because that permeates everything, and that's all he's calling you to here, is the vigilance, or let it permeate all circumstances, every, you know, all waking forms.
Yeah, and he's saying, yeah, be aware that those thoughts, that thought system, here called ego, that thought system is running, and see how you're dancing to its tune.
Right. Yeah, and you can hear when it's off key.
Yeah, and that gives you the opportunity to choose again.
Yeah, so
To,
you're
or
always
this says to wait for right reason and guidance. Yeah,
right.
go
Yeah.
ahead.
No, I was just gonna say you can just hear it if you're listening for it. You can just hear it when it's off.
And then you can rest, accept, and trust.
Yeah,
Right?
and a lot of times you do that. You do that, or at least I do that. You do it after the fact. I mean, it's coming out of your mouth. You're going, "Oh, that's a little off." So it's just,
Have been left unsaid.
that was, yeah.
Yourself is to be given to me now, that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Yeah, I might have improved on Holy Spirit here and added the word so, so that would read more easily. Yourself is to be given to me now, so that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's that idea of making way for the making way for the truth, making way for the new, getting rid of the old. You got to clean the space, clear the space, make room for grace, right? Choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. Choose instead to lay yourself aside and to become like an empty shell. That which is emptied shall be filled by me, and one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness. Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this at dinner, Connie and I did. But this is going, at least this paragraph goes beyond. Just the well, just the goes beyond the idea of okay, I'm going to let go of that thought. I'm going to let go of that thought. I'm going to let go of that thought. This is talking about letting go of the roles that we play, the personas that we create. Those are the root cause, right, of all the miscellaneous thoughts that might be seen as leaves on the tree, right? And we're getting to the root of it by looking at these personas that we would hang on to. My role, for example, vis-a-vis you as a sister, or vis-a-vis Tom as a wife, or my boss, I'm an employee. And it's it's like so we've talked for a long time now about this false self in the abstract. And for me, what's becoming clearer and clearer is that it's time to quit talking about this false self in the abstract and really see how I create these multiple selves, and how I maintain them, and how I'm threatened when they're challenged. When my friend doesn't call. Well, wait a minute, doesn't she know her role as a friend? Right? This threatens me. This threatens my friend self, right? And so by challenging these notions of these roles or these personas that I've developed, I'm able to see them for what they are and let them go. And as I eschew, as I get rid of these personas, I make room for the truth of who I am to come naturally shining through. And that's the empty shell. Quit filling your shell up with, oh, here I'm going to be teacher, and here I'm going to be a wife, and here I'm going to be a judge, and here I'm going to be a mama, and right, and here I'm going to be a daughter, and it's so crowded in there. How do you fit anything else in? Well, you can't. Right? You have to start emptying the shell, emptying that vessel.
Yeah, and for me at least, come on up. For me at least, like the experience I was telling you about at when that solicitor called, you know, I jump into that space of somebody you're not going to take advantage of.
Right, business savvy, right?
Yeah. Like I have something to be reckoned with, and you know, you're not going to step on me, right? But it's the same thing. It's when I'm a business person, or I'm not your typical dumbass, or whatever it is. It's going to a box, labeling myself whether I do this in an outward, you know, it's all kind of being done unconscious. But
right.
Here I am,
and that's the problem. But go ahead,
and it is the problem, and that's exactly what we're talking about. I get that, but here I am, and so deal with this. You know, I mean, there's so many things wrong with that. You don't even know where to get started, right? But what I've done is gone to exactly what you're saying. I've gone to that role and identified myself in that role, and then responded out of that identification with that role instead of, from the heart or whatever, to this poor woman that's trying to get a friggin' $15 donation, you know?
My God, yeah. That funny?
Yeah. It wasn't funny or sad. And sometimes we have to, you know, sometimes we have to learn these in hindsight. So I'm not going to make myself guilty or feel real bad about it, but just to see, like we were talking about before, to see the barometer of knowing that that's off somewhere, instead of just charging on through it and doing it again next time, is looking at that and saying that was off. Maybe I don't want to do it the same way next time.
Well, and here's the thing, and I absolutely appreciate this. This is a great example, because here's the thing, because what it feels to me like we've been doing for years is to go, oh, I should have been loving, I shouldn't have tried to protect myself, and this, what feels like to me is just a little bit more subtle or another insight, but it's this idea of, oh, it's this whole idea of this root cause. Oh, I wasn't going to be the dumbass, or oh, I was going to be the savvy business person, which
right.
may be the same,
exactly.
same persona. But yeah, so that you can see how that concept has all these attributes that once you buy the concept, then you have to act like that.
Yeah.
Then you're compelled to act like that once you buy into that particular piece of identity. So it's the identity that's got to go.
Right. Yeah. So it would be that empty shell of not going into this box over here. Oh, well, now I'm going to be the boss box. Now I'm going to be your friend box. And now I'm going to, you know.
Right.
But instead, listening, as we're reading in the last chapter, hearing when it's off.
Yeah, and you might even say the same thing to the woman. You might say, I'm not comfortable giving my credit card, and I don't have time to call those folks. If you can't get me something, I guess I can't help you this year. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so it might be exactly the same conversation, but you haven't then strengthened super businesswoman.
Right.
Right? Or super smart lady. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not about, like, being bad because you gave her what for. Right?
Yeah.
It's about why it is we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because we don't want to strengthen this alternative self.
Yes.
Because it fills that shell, fills the shell, right? Clogs the box, and the truth of who we are can't doesn't have any room to fill the shell, to fill the vessel.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. All right, so let's read that paragraph one more time. Yourself is to be given to me now, that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. Choose instead to lay yourself aside and to become like an empty shell. That which is emptied shall be filled by me, and one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness.
Yeah, so choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. So if it that perceive yourself to be is the concept that you have decided who you are, is who you are, to be living out of that.
Yeah.
But just be more like the observer. So you're just watching everything without the identity role.
Yeah, of course, you know, we've heard people talk about, what comes to mind is Byron Katie talking about that guy coming at her with a knife, right? And going, oh, hey, and that's interesting. I mean, she's not the victim. She's not the, I don't know, damsel in distress. She's not the hero. She's not, you know, she has presumably several roles she could go into, right?
Right.
And she's just going, hey, look at that. He's got a knife, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and she would just say, she's just, it's reality. This is what's going on, and she hasn't jumped into a box because of the reality that seems to be going on. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. Good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're on page 286. No, we're not. We're on page 288. NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Lay down yourself in service to me, that you may serve me and come to know yourself. And I think that's just saying what we were just talking about. You get what your root, you know, what's really going on there, right? As an empty shell, you get to see
right
what's going on. And yeah, you leave room to be filled by me.
Yeah, you're not, you haven't blinded yourself by your role.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't blinded yourself by your role. Exactly, by identification with your role. Exactly. I think I misread that second sentence. So I'm just going to read this again. We may or may not make it through this paragraph before the end. As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. There are no capitalizations here to guide me in the right direction, but I believe that it's that the reason, it is talking about right reason here. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Right? Lay down yourself in service to me that you may serve me and come to know yourself. That which is revealed to you. Are we good on that paragraph? I feel like we're good. Okay, I won't read it again, y'all. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become an empty shell is also revealed to the mind. And this is what we talked a while ago, right? About how, you know, you give to your brother, not so that your brother goes, hey, you're great, but because you're training yourself. You are training the one mind. You're not training the one mind. You're revealing the truth of the one mind, but you can only do that within yourself. That's what we spent the first half an hour talking about that, right? And this is saying the same thing. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell is also revealed to the mind.
Yes, you haven't changed the whole dynamics and parameters and all of that by going into a role.
you haven't reinforced the belief that there are roles and that there are separate people and that there need to be separate roles, and you have, you're right, you're participating in the truth of who you are. The same way, again, that this that was in the last chapter, wasn't it? You give trust to your brother and you give trust to the one that you are, right?
Right.
And it's not, you don't give trust to your brother because your brother looks at you and goes, "Hey, look how, you know, look how trustworthy you are," or look, you know, right? It's that's not how it works. It works like that, because giving and receiving are the same, because I am learning what I give, right? It's not like outward actions are the desired result. I am teaching what I would learn, and I'm not getting this said for some reason. We said it a while ago, and I can't quite say it. Can you?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, by example, once again, going back to my experience this afternoon when I went into the boss or I know something role and got this phone call. Well, the whole world was no longer the world I was in 2 seconds ago when this person wanted to challenge me. Or felt like this person wanted to challenge me. Now all of a sudden I've got this role of where I'm a smart individual, I'm a business entrepreneur and a leader, and you know you're not going to bully me here. So the whole world became a different, a completely different world, and that's So what's being called for here is the saying, that which was revealed to you as you lay yourself aside, as I lay that person aside, that persona, that BS, that untruth, as you lay that aside and become the empty shell, then the real truth is, you know, I could have participated, I could have had a real dialogue with this woman. I could have had a meaningful experience instead of there being this dickhead boss.
Right. But and I guess the one step further here is that it's not about that woman's experience. It's about your experience of that of
Right.
that.
Well, I didn't say that she had an experience, but I'm just saying I could have had an experience with this woman.
Right. And so my point is, I'm just pinpointing it back down to. That's why giving and receiving are the same. That's why you would teach what you would learn, because you teach the one mind by the beliefs that you adopt, by what you participate in, by the experience that you have is how you teach the one mind from within. You don't teach them by them going, "Wow, that woman's great, right? She
Yeah.
was so nice." No, you're
No, yep.
teaching the one mind by teaching yourself, and you teach yourself. In these, by letting go of the role, whatever the role is, and
Right.
becoming the empty shell.
Right, exactly. Yes. I missed the whole experience.
Yeah, the whole opportunity to learn the truth of who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I've dropped into a role.
And taught yourself who you weren't.
Exactly.
We're out of town.
Okay.
Thanks for being the example. Connie doesn't really mean to cuss because she knows that's not allowed in this room.
Is dick a bad word?
Anyway, we gotta go.
Sorry, folks. I'm sorry.
We love you. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.